Hear the word of the Lord. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Amen. The title for the sermon this morning is Knowing Jesus is What It's About. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity we have to come and worship again this morning. We do thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that you have given this to us. Lord, we come as your people this morning, hungry, wanting to be fed by your word. Father, I pray that you feed us this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that we would hear the voice of Jesus speaking to us this morning. I ask this in his name and for his sake. Amen. I wish to begin this morning by posing some questions that I want you to think about. And these particular questions will set the framework for how we are going to consider this verse before us. So here are the questions. How do you view the Christian life? How would you describe the Christian life? What is the purpose or the point of your Christian existence? What do you want to get out of your Christian experience in the here and now? What is the Christian life meant to be all about? As believers, these are very important questions, aren't they? For how we answer these will have a huge impact on how we live our lives, what we devote our time and energy to, what motivates us, what we are striving for, and what we determine as progress. I wonder how often our Christian lives become stale. Progress and growth seem to be stunted. Our spiritual experience is not what it could be or should be, because our daily perspective of what the Christian life is actually all about has either been forgotten or never really understood. In this biographical portion of Scripture before us, we have revealed what Paul's Christian experience was all about, what it was that he was striving for in the daily spiritual grind. But before we consider this, allow me to remind you of the context of the verse this morning. Verse 7 is really the key verse to this portion of Scripture, where it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." In verses 5 and 6, Paul spells out all of his previously cherished achievements, these things that he was banking upon to earn him God's favor. But upon meeting Christ, he realized that all this that he thought to be great gain was in fact loss. He had to forsake this in order to win Christ. He realized that he could not earn righteousness, but he needed the righteousness of Christ. For that is the only righteousness that is acceptable before God. And all we in Christ have his righteousness imputed to us. That is the message of verse 9. And now in verse 10, he goes on to explain some of the glorious gains in Christ. And it's this that is laid out before us that reveals the driving motivation of Paul's spiritual life. So let's consider this example before us. Let's see how he would answer the questions that we began with this morning. How did he view the Christian life? What was it that he was striving for? We're going to do this under two headings. Number one, the purpose of Paul, and then the particular blessings of knowing Christ. So firstly, let's consider the purpose of Paul. Now, I'm going to let you know right now as to what the answer is to the questions I asked previously, rather than waiting right to the end of the sermon, because I can see, you know, the suspense is killing you. You want to know. And then we're going to spend the rest of our time expounding and understanding it. The goal of Paul's Christian life was to know Christ. This was his life's motivation. This was its overarching purpose. The first phrase in verse 10, that I may. This is a purpose clause. And this type of clause, of course, denotes purpose. And what this clause tells us is that this was Paul's earnest desire. It was the quest of his soul to know Christ. This is what the Christian life was about to him. It was this particular pursuit that meant more to him than anything else. The pursuit of knowing Christ, knowing him more and more deeply, had completely captivated his heart. And it is this that is to be the heartbeat of the Christian. It is to be our desire to know Christ. This is what the Christian life is all about. It's this that we are to be striving for in the here and now. This, beloved, is the Christian life. A lifelong pursuit of an ever deeper knowledge of Christ. And the question that we must confront is, what is this knowledge? What type of knowledge is this speaking of? In what capacity can we know Christ? We often speak of knowing someone, and this can mean different things, can't it? There are many different categories of knowledge. And although we don't distinguish this in the way that we speak, we are subconsciously aware. If I was to say to you that I know the Prime Minister, and I was to say that I know my wife, although I use the same word, the meaning is not the same in these statements, is it? This type of knowledge is completely different. Now, my knowledge of the Prime Minister is very shallow, very impersonal. But the knowledge of my wife is much deeper. It's intimate, it's personal. So allow me to explore some of the different types of knowledge that we are aware of. We can say that we know someone because we recognize them. We see their face and we can identify who they are, such as with the Prime Minister. We see Mr. Turnbull and we know who he is, but that's the limit of our knowledge. Is that the type of knowledge we are to have of Christ? And we can also say that we know someone because we are acquainted with what they do. We know the mechanic because he works on our car. Once again, that's very limited. Is that the knowledge that you and I are to possess of Christ? And we can also say that we know someone because we know lots about them. We don't know them personally, but we know a lot of facts about them. And this is usually the type of knowledge that we possess of a hero, someone we admire, someone we look up to. Is this the limit of our knowledge of Christ, just a mere head knowledge? We can also say that we know someone because we are on speaking terms. This is the type of knowledge that you have with your neighbours or with your work colleagues. You will converse with them backwards and forwards, but really you are acquaintances. And that's the limits of the relationship. Is that what we are to have with Christ? We can also say that we know someone because we spend a lot of time together. This is the type of knowledge that we have with friends. There's a common interest. And this type of knowledge is starting to get deeper and more personal. And then there's the type of knowledge that we have of our family, particularly of one spouse. We live together, share the everyday experiences, which leads to a deep knowledge and understanding. So as you can see, this concept of knowledge is very broad. And hence we must determine in what capacity we can know Christ and then make it our soul's quest to pursue it. We must understand that knowing Christ is much more than simply knowing about Him. Knowing the facts, the stories, knowing His teaching, even possessing a good theology. Knowing Christ is more than mere intellect. Now, although possessing head knowledge of Christ is important, it's not to stop there. But rather, knowing Christ speaks of a personal and an intimate knowledge. It speaks of something that is experienced. That is the sense of the Greek word translated know. The idea of being personally acquainted, to be sharing experiences. This is intimate. It's communion. It's union. It speaks of fellowship, of a deep-rooted, loving, intimate, and fulfilling relationship. This is the sense of what it means to know Christ. And this involves the whole being. And it was this that was Paul's yearning desire. This was the purpose of his life. The pursuit of this knowledge meant more than anything else. Now, he wanted to know Christ more intimately, more personally. He was so wrapped up in Him. Despite being saved and knowing Christ for many years, he still wanted to know Him better. He was still so captivated by this one who had loved him so. And hence it was his lifelong pursuit to know the inexhaustible Christ even better. And this, beloved, is the Christian life. It's a personal and intimate relationship with Christ. It is this that we are to be daily striving towards, to possess a greater knowledge of His person and His work, to experience His presence, to commune with Him. This is to be our daily desire and focus. And I don't know about you, but something I find amazing about this is the fact that it's actually possible. That we serve a God who we can know personally and intimately. Now, this is completely different to any other religion. Our God is not impersonal and distant like every false deity. But our God has revealed Himself to us and we can know Him. In fact, it is expected that we know Him. For it's completely natural for us to desire to know this Christ and be completely captivated and enthralled by this one who has loved us so. My friend, the purpose of Paul's life was to know his Jesus more intimately. Now, this was his pursuit. And it's this that we are to be yearning for. This is the essence of the Christian life, to know Christ better and better and hence become more like Him. And this knowledge and intimacy increases as we diligently study the Word, as we steadfastly pray, as we participate in public worship and the ordinances, as we sing praises, and as we share the gospel. All of this under the influence of the Holy Spirit, then our knowledge of Christ will grow and we will desire to know Him more and more and conform into His image. This is to be the daily Christian experience. Knowing Christ is what it's all about. In the second part of verse 10, it goes on to explain some particular blessings of knowing Christ. And it's this that I wish to consider secondly. Now, Paul speaks of the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, these two statements are further explaining different aspects of knowing Christ. And both these blessings are part of being in Christ. So all believers possess these, but the extent and effect they have will be greater the more that we know Christ. So if we are striving to know him better, we will experience the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And experiencing these things will help us in the struggles of life as we strive to pursue Christ. So let's consider resurrection power first. The resurrection is the cornerstone of the Christian faith, isn't it? Without this, our faith is vain. It's the greatest miracle and the greatest display of the power of Christ. For he rising from the dead revealed his absolute power over both the physical and the spiritual realm. And we who are in Christ, we who are saved, have been given the Holy Spirit. And we have been given the same spiritual power that raised Jesus from the dead. And the believer experiences this resurrection power in two ways. And number one, this power raises us out of spiritual death. So it is this very power that saves us. In salvation, believers identify with Christ in death, burial, and resurrection as a result of our union. And this is the teaching of Romans 6, verses 4 and 5, which say, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So that's the first way. But there's also a second way in which we experience resurrection power, and this is in the area of sanctification. This power operates within the believer through the Spirit to give us victory over sin, to help us defeat temptation. So we do not have to try and defeat sin in our own strength, and that's good news, for we can't. But we have this power at our disposal to help us overcome sin. We as believers can have victory over sin, for the old man is dead, we are new in Christ, and we possess this power, and hence we do not have to sin. And it was the desire of Paul to possess an ever-increasing supply of this power surging through his being so that he could overcome sin and spiritual fruit would be forthcoming. In the words of one author, he describes it like this: Paul desires a growing supply of the cleansing power, this dynamite that destroys sin and makes room for personal holiness and effective witness bearing. So he wanted to know Christ so he could experience this power over sin. And as he experienced this, it would result in him being able to know Christ even deeper and even more intimately, because it's sin that hinders this, isn't it? Now, the sin within our life obstructs our pursuit of knowing Christ. But beloved, we can overcome sin with this resurrection power that is ours in Christ. And as we get to know Christ more deeply and more intimately, we will experience this power in an even greater capacity. And may you and I experience an ever-increasing supply of this power that enables us to have victory over sin, and hence a deeper knowledge of Christ will be forthcoming. Now, the second thing in this verse is fellowship in suffering. As before mentioned, the believer is conformed to the death of Christ at salvation. This is the teaching of Romans 6, which was the verses that I read before. And although this is included in this idea, Paul has the suffering of life more in mind. We as believers will suffer. This is promised by God. The Christian life will not be easy. Different people will suffer to different extremes for sure. But it will happen to all of us in different ways. And suffering can be difficult, can't it? No, it's not easy. No one enjoys being ridiculed and rebuked for our Christian faith. And I can't begin to think what those who face physical torment, what the mental strain must be on them that experience this. But my friend, we must remember that in Christ we do not suffer alone. This term fellowship mentioned in this verse is a word that we've come across before in this study. It's a Greek word koinonia, a word I'm sure you're familiar with. It speaks of partnership. It speaks of communion. When a believer suffers, they have a companion with Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That one does not suffer and bear the burdens of life alone. And my friend, Christ knows exactly what it's like to suffer, for he has endured far more intense persecution and suffering than anyone who has ever lived. And as believers, we have this Jesus. He is our sympathetic high priest. He is our faithful friend who knows and feels the pain. A companion who has faced all the trials and temptations of life, and thus he is uniquely qualified to help us through the difficulties of life. And this is the privilege of knowing Christ. And we must remember that at this time, as Paul is writing this, he is in chains. He knows this to be true. This was not just some theory for this man, but he knew personally, intimately, what it was like to have Christ as his companion during suffering. And as a result of this, it drew him nearer to Christ and resulted in a deeper and more intimate knowledge. And my friend, we do not have to suffer alone. This is one of the wonderful benefits of knowing Christ. And the greater we know him, the more we will experience his companionship in the dark times. In fact, the troubled waters often result in the deepest moments of fellowship. Victory over sin and companionship in suffering, but two of the glorious blessings or benefits of knowing Christ. And the more we know him, the more we will experience these blessings. I began this morning with some questions. What is the Christian life all about? What are we to be striving for? What is to be our focus and desire? Beloved, it's about knowing Christ. That's what our life is about. It's striving to understand, comprehend, and fathom his person and work. It is experiencing him, communing with him, fellowshipping with him. It's growing closer and closer to him each and every day and conforming into his image. The Christian life is a lifelong pursuit of a deeper, more intimate, more personal knowledge of Christ. This is to be the quest of our souls, to be so captivated with the one who has loved us so. We serve a magnificent Savior. The question is, how well do you know him? How wonderful is he to you? Is Jesus growing dearer and sweeter to you as the time goes by? Do you know him better now than you did last week, last month, or last year? Is the passion for Christ strong? Is it burning brightly in your hearts? Is it the quest of your soul to know him? How well do you know Jesus? Are you striving to know him better? For that is what the Christian life is all about. Amen. Let's pray.